Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Numbers, and this is chapter 30. This chapter has to do with vowing. What is it saying, Mahater?
The law concerning vows.
There's the law concerning a vow, and a person, Jesus Christ, he's doing is making a covenant with the Lord. He's making a vow to the Lord, and he must never, under any circumstance, break it. It's better to never make a vow to the Lord than it is to make a vow to the Lord and then break it. We vow to live in a resurrected life now. So let's ask the Lord. Father, we ask that you teach everyone, the hearer, every hearer of this tape, that they must never break the vow. And one of the many of the vows, Lord, one of them is to keep our minds stayed upon you. And the covenant between you and us is you tell us that we must obey you in everything that you say and do. You told us to commune without ceasing. And we said that we will follow you, Jesus. So pray or commune to me without ceasing. Meditate on me day and night, and you promise that we can do nothing without you. So, and we're not to break that vow or to think that you lie. It's impossible for you to lie. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. That the words of this chapter will cut into everyone, the true meaning of it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Numbers chapter 30, the laws concerning vows, King James Version, verse 1. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth.
Okay, when it comes to salvation, that's what the Lord came into the world for, was to bring salvation into the world. And the terms of the salvation is that we come unto him and stay with him and never depart from him. And if we keep that vow, he'll never depart from us. He'll never leave or forsake us. If, and the Bible is just full of ifs. If we do this, then he'll never leave or forsake us. And if his words abide in us and we abide in him, if, then whatsoever we ask, he'll do it, including healing us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that are dying in hospitals and at home, and we need to tell them the promises of the Lord. So that they'll make a vow and keep it so that they can be completely healed. All the curses come off of their soul immediately and their body. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Verse 3. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth. Verse 4. And her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul. And her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. Verse 5. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. Translation verse 1 through 5. The laws concerning vows. Now Moses summoned the leaders of the tribes of Israel and told them, quote, This is what the Lord has commanded. Verse 2. A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. Verse 3. If a young woman makes a vow to the Lord or a pledge under oath while she is still living at her father's house. Verse 4. And her father hears of the vow or pledge and says nothing, then all her vows and pledges will stand. Verse 5. But if her father refuses to let her fulfill the vow or pledge on the day he hears of it, then all her vows and pledges will become invalid. The Lord will forgive her because her father would not let her fulfill them.
This also holds true with a husband. If a husband hears his wife making a ridiculous vow, he can disannul it. But if he just doesn't disannul it, then she has to keep the vow. All right, go ahead.
King James Version, verse 6. And if she had at all an husband when she vowed, or uttered aught out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, verse 7, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. Verse 8. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. Translation, verse 6 through 8. Now suppose a young woman takes a vow or makes an impulsive pledge and later marries. Verse 7. If her husband learns of her vow or pledge and raises no objections on the day he hears of it, her vows and pledges will stand. Verse 8. But if her husband refuses to accept her vow or impulsive pledge on the day he hears of it, he nullifies her commitments, and the Lord will forgive her. King James Version, verse 9. And every vow of a widow, or of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. Verse 10. And if she vowed in her husband's house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, verse 11, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her, and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. Verse 12, but if her husband hath utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vows, or concerning the bond of her soul, shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. Verse 13. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. Verse 14. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he establisheth all her vows, or all her bonds with which are upon her. He confirmeth them because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. Translation, verse 9 through 14. If, however, a woman is a widow or is divorced, she must fulfill all her vows and pledges, no matter what. Verse 10. Suppose a woman is married and living in her husband's home when she makes a vow or pledge. Verse 11. If her husband hears of it and does nothing to stop her, her vow or pledge will stand. Verse 12. But if her husband refuses to accept it on the day he hears of it, her vow or pledge will be nullified, and the Lord will forgive her. Verse 13. So her husband may either confirm or nullify any vows or pledges she makes to deny herself. Verse 14. But if he says nothing on the day he hears of it, then he is agreeing to it. King James Version, verse 15. But if he shall any ways make them void after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. Verse 16. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house. Translation, verse 15 and 16. If he waits more than a day and then tries to nullify a vow or pledge, he will suffer the consequences of her guilt. Verse 16. These are the regulations the Lord gave Moses concerning relationships between a man and his wife, and between a father and a young daughter who still lives at home.
Okay, that was the chapter 30 of the book of Numbers, and now we have some commentary.
30 verse 1 through 16. Conditions under which release from a vow may be granted are discussed here. There are no releases for a male, even a male dependent on his father's care. Likewise, an independent woman who has never been married is not addressed. These omissions underline the concern of the chapter, the relation between the institutions of family and the worship forms. A woman may be released from her vow in one of three ways. One, by her father, providing she is still a dependent, verses 3 through 5. Two, by her husband at the time of her marriage to him, if she has made a vow prior to the marriage, verses 6 through 8. Or three, by her husband, if the vow is made while married, verses 10 through 15. The father or husband affirms the vow by not rebuking her for it. In other words, inaction, by not taking any action against it, but he must actively negate such a vow, and the negation must take place immediately upon hearing of it. Verse 14. Widows and divorced women may not be released from vows they have made. The hierarchical family structure of the culture is evident here. It is important to note that the woman has an independent relationship to God. Her vow is conditioned by the parental or marital relationship, but it is not determined by it. 30 verse 1. Heads of the tribes is used only here in the entire Pentateuch. The authorization structure of tribe and family is thus introduced at the outset of this section. 30 verse 5. Quote, "The Lord will release her," unquote, means the Lord will forgive her. The vow is not made null and void, but it is an unfulfilled promise that is forgiven. Verse 8 and 12, and the case in verse 15 where there is no forgiveness, but guilt is incurred by the husband. 30 verse 13, quote, "to afflict her soul," unquote, is an expression often associated with fasting. See Isaiah 58, verse 3 and 5. It refers to any act of self-denial. Isaiah 58, verse 3, quote, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors," unquote. Verse 5, quote, "Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" Unquote. 30 verse 15, quote, "He shall bear her guilt," unquote. Check that out in verse 5.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 30 in the book of Numbers. And we just remember that if we make vows unto the Lord to love him and keep all of his commandments, to follow him, to take his yoke upon us, and to go and sin no more, so that we can live in, and also that he that sinneth is of the devil, the Lord said through his prophets, his apostles. And we are saved because the Messiah, God in the Messiah, came into the world and lived and died for our sins. He lived a sinless life and was buried and resurrected. And now we can become part of his body and he can live in us. So long as we keep our vows to him. Just think about this all the time. Just think of all the vows that he makes and all the commandments that he tells us to keep, and make sure that we keep them. Otherwise, we're not Christians. We come to the cross to give our lives over to the Lord, to give ourselves, to turn our lives completely around from the world and live to Him so that He can live in us and give us life eternal by the power of His resurrection and cleanse us with His blood. We need to meditate, think about the Lord all day long, in the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening, and all will be well for today. We'll be doing chapter 31 this evening, the Lord willing. God bless you, and may he will for sure, if you do what this chapter says, what the entire Bible tells us to do. You will be blessed. You're not going to be blessed by somebody saying, God bless you. But God will bless you. He has no alternative if you do what He says. If you study what He tells you to do, and if you do what He says, He will bless you. So praise the Lord, everybody. Lord bless until chapter 31.